If you guys remember the first piece we did, Rav Kook said that when a building is being torn down, it's usually because a bigger and better building is being put up on that real estate, right? When they built this building, I'll give an example. When they built Queen Anne 70 years ago, that was good sized building, good stuff, you know. But now, with today's technology and today's advancement, they're going to have to tear down Queen Anne and build up Prince Frederick 2.0.
Can't stay, just wanted to say what's up.
Okay, just seeing you is already what's up. So when you're tearing down a building, Rav Kook said, it's usually because they're building a bigger and better and more advanced building. And when you feel that something, a building that you've been working on building spiritually, and yourself is being torn down, it's falling apart, it's because there's an inner message telling you that it's time to build a bigger and better building, right? So let's say you were in high school and you were dealing with money and lust for wealth. And then all of a sudden you get to the business school and you're like, oh my God, there's so much more opportunity to make money. And right? So that's because you're the building that you had of lust for wealth in high school, your dream of making money was, you know, to win the lottery or something. Now there's such a bigger building and therefore you have to work much harder. So, you know, you thought you were working you had a building, a foundation of how to perceive women, and then you come to a world where the perception of women is worse off than you ever imagined, and now you have to work much harder to perceive women in a better way, and that goes true for everything else. So that was the Rav Kook's idea of saying that when you see that a spiritual building that you were building inside is falling, crumbling apart, is because there's an inner you telling you that it's time to build a bigger and better building, more advanced building than the one you've had for the past couple of years. In that regard, Rav Kook is telling us, "Kshe'adam margish be'atzmo rekanut gemura." When a person feels in himself a true emptiness, true void, right? Person feels he's empty, he's nothing, he's a loser, he's the worst. He's really, really, I'm right. I mean, listen, I learned Torah. What do I get out of it? Nothing. I go to shul, I daven. What do I get out of it? Nothing. Right? Like, I'm literally one big piece of nothing. Right? I have a PhD in nothing. Right? Not that I have nothing. I have a nothing. I'm such a nothing. V'nafsho mishtochechet v'kirbo mirov dichuta umare afsuta. And his soul feels so useless, feels so unneeded, unimportant, feels almost helpless, right? My soul says, what else can I do? I tried davening, I tried the gartel, I tried the beard, I tried the payas, I tried, you know, uman, I tried everything. Nothing's working. I've exhausted all options, and I really feel helpless. I really feel like there's nothing that I can do that all of a sudden is going to change what I am and the fact that I am amounting to very little, and I'm not succeeding. I'm trying and trying and trying and not succeeding. And you know what? I don't know what to do. Says Rav Kook, if you feel that's so empty. Yedaki Yeshuat Hashem Krovada Irlo. Rather than feeling useless and helpless, Rav Kook says the opposite is true. You should feel a great salvation is coming your way, right? And this is what Rav Kook's narrative has been throughout this essay that we've been, these pieces and snippets that we've been getting, is this common philosophy that you should really feel the opposite of what you're feeling, right? If the Yetzer Hara is grabbing you and pulling you, instead of feeling stupid and feeling like a nobody, look, the Yetzer Hara is investing time and effort in you. That means that you are worth something, right? You feel empty. You feel nothing. Instead of feeling that you should give up and that you're, you know, I've been davening for so many years. I've been putting on tefillin for so many years and I feel nothing. Instead of giving up and saying, I'm done, Kook says the opposite you should feel. You should feel that God's salvation is closer than ever, and the illumination of God's salvation will come any moment. Yeah.
Are there people that the Yetzer doesn't invest in? Like, I'm not saying it's not a bad thing.
Oh, yes.
Feel like,
first of all,
I'm saying, because, like, but doesn't the Yetzer really invest in everybody? Like, I'm not trying to, like, minimize.
So, as Harav Finance can tell you, there's investment and there's investment, right? there's an investment that's a low risk investment, also low return. And there's an investment that's a big investment, right? So a person who's bumming around doing nothing all day, the Yetzer hasn't even invested in him. What kind of damage is he going to give, right? Meaning, yes, the pawn can win a chess match. But what's really the stakes of that, right? Meaning, you know, I have the ability to eat a pawn. I'm not going to always eat the pawn. I'm usually going to set myself up for a bigger take, right? So yes, is every piece in the chess game important? Yes, 100%. Right, every person, right? The Yetzer Hara invests in everybody, but there's an investment. There's also people that the Yetzer Hara stopped investing in because, you know what? He won. That's it. He's done. The people gave up. That's it. Right? So I'm never going to be anything. I'm never going to be something, right? The whole goal of the Yetzer Hara is not for you to sin. It's for you to come to a conclusion that you've sinned so much that you need to give up. Right?
Could that be like an interpretation of like the hardening Pharaoh's heart thing? In other words, like, God just didn't send the Yetzer Hara anymore. So like, you know. Therefore,
there are different ways to understand hardening part of the heart, but I wouldn't even go that far. I would just say that the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara invested so much, the Yetzer Hara was so successful with Paro that God just stopped pushing on the other side.
I mean, well, God is the Yetzer Hara,
right? No, the equilibrium, right? The Zelu Mazasa Elokim, right? But the idea is that the Yetzer Hara, wants you to give up. That's his goal. That's the goal of the Yetzer Hara, is for you to give up. And that's why Rav Kook says that the more you feel you should give up, the more you shouldn't give up. Right? It's like a personal trainer, right? It tells you when you feel like you can't do anymore, that's when the personal trainer is going to push you. Because that's when it really matters. Till now, that you know, you felt you can run, you felt you can do this, right? That's when it's, right? You know, in the army, they tell you we're going to take open the stretchers and we're going to carry the wounded till there. And then right when we get there, you know what they say? Actually, it's going to be till there, right? And when we get there, you think you're done? It's going to be actually a little more and a little more, right? Because really, when you think you're done, that's when it all matters, right? So when you think the Yetzer Hara is just about to convince you to give up, right? That's when you need to, that, right? And that's why, and that's the Alter Rebbe's understanding of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is what? You start listing all the stuff that you've done bad. And what's the conclusion? Wow, I did that much?
Yeah.
I could do good also, right? Like any coach will tell you in a halftime, right? If the team scored that many points against us, we can do the same.
Patriots 2-0. Right?
We can do the same in return. So Rav Kook says, you should feel, when you feel so empty, you feel like you've been stripped of all hope, when you feel like you've been doing for so long and you're getting no return, don't give up. Umidat tova meruba midat poranut. ואם לפני שבר גאון, לפני גדולה ואורה, תואכת רוח וענבה פנימית. So Rav Kook says, in the way the world works, in coin this Rabbi Nachman a little better, מעט מן האור מגרש הרבה מן החושך. There's no equal light and darkness. A little bit of light gets rid of a lot of dark. Okay? When you're trying to sleep and the crack of the light coming in from under the door, from the hallway, that could be enough to drive a person mad. It's a tiny bit of light, right? But a tiny bit of light gets rid of a lot of darkness. Midat tova gdola midat paranoia. A little bit of good does a lot more than a little bit of bad, right? If I say you're an idiot, and I say you're magnificent, the good word is going to have a lot more of effect than the bad word. Now, obviously, there are moments where one bad word can put you over the top, but I'm not talking about in those moments. I'm talking about in the mainstream time, good is more than bad, right? And Rav Kook is telling us that when it boils down to it, and you're feeling like there's nothing happening, nothing moving, nothing going on, you feel empty, you feel useless, you feel like you're not amounting to anything, hang on. Not only hang on because the good that's coming is greater than any bad that you can imagine, but lefi godel ve'ora dekaut ruach ve'anava pnimit. What is this emptiness that you're feeling inside? You're translating the emptiness as I'm not amounting to anything. What is really that emptiness? Room that has been made for something greater to come. Right? There's a big concept we know today. It's called post postpartum depression. After a woman gives birth, she becomes depressed. Why?
Because the baby's gone.
Because the baby's gone. Because there was something inside of her that is gone. But now that that baby's gone, there's potential for a new baby.
Or there's now a live baby in your hands.
Well, yeah, yes. Potential. But the emptiness is actually room, right? You see, you can translate empty as nothing, hollow, vacant, void. You could also translate room as potential, right? I need to make room for another person, right? So a person who doesn't feel empty on the inside is never going to try to get married, right? One of my good friends said, when I was living in Achlaot with all the single people, I never thought I needed to get married. We had a bachelor apartment. Life was great. Nobody was telling us to wash the dishes. Nobody told you to clean the toilet. It was only when I moved out of there.
I hope they clean the toilet on their own.
Of course they didn't. It's Nachlaot. Have you ever been to Nachlaot?
No. Not the apartment.
Said only when I moved out did I really feel that I need to get married. This is a person who got married at age like 29. And he said, you know what? I didn't feel empty enough that it pushed me to get married. I filled my emptiness with other things. There's something actually beautiful with feeling empty. Feeling empty is a motivation to fill. So if you don't feel empty, you're never going to fill it with another person and another person or with anything, right? Now, there's another... Now, we live in a world in Western society where we're constantly trying to fill that emptiness, right? Don't be empty. Don't be empty. Don't be empty, right? Fill it with food. Fill it with entertainment. Fill it with ambition. Fill it with something. But there's something beautiful about feeling empty. Of saying, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm coming with you, right? Re'ei amidatinu lefanecha, dalim verekim. Or as we say in Slichot, dalim verekim dafakn daltotecha. And what did the Chafetz Chaim say? Im lo she'ainu dalim verekim, lo ainu dofkim daltotecha. Right? We say, God, we come to you knocking on your doors empty-handed. If we weren't empty-handed. Right? You know the famous joke about the guy who's looking for parking in Tel Aviv? This guy is looking for parking in Tel Aviv. He's on his way to a business meeting. He's going to close $1 million. And he's looking for parking. And there's and you know, the ratio in Tel Aviv is 3 cars per parking spot, right? That's the ratio of cars per parking spots. And he's looking for parking. He goes, no parking, no parking. He circles the street. And he says to God, he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, if you let me find parking, I'm going to donate half my money to tzedakah organization. So that I make from this deal. And as he says that, a car comes out. He goes, God, got it. I got it. Don't worry. No good. No, you know, I don't need your help. I figured it out, right? If I don't feel empty, if I don't need God, what of my life am I living? All right, that's the curse of the Nachash. The Nachash in Eitz Hadaat. What was his curse? You'll eat dirt. What a curse is that? Here, your food's everywhere. That's exactly it. You'll always feel situated. Right? Oh, you'll never feel empty. You'll never need anybody else. You'll never want anything. You have everything. Right? There's a famous midrash that this guy goes to Olam Haba and there's an angel that's there to give him everything he wants. And he keeps saying, I want this, I want this, I want this. And the angel snaps his finger and he gets it. After about 3 months, the guy's like, it's bored out of his skull. You know, I want a bowling alley. I want this. He exhausted after for 3 months everything that he ever wanted in his life and more. And he goes to the angel and goes, I want to talk to your boss. And he goes to the top angel. He goes, this is heaven, this. I'm bored out of my mind. And the guy looked at him and goes, wait, who ever told you you're in heaven? Right? That, the Midrash is saying, that's Gehenna. Having everything is Gehenna. Feeling a lacking is actually what makes us grow, makes us change, what makes us want to be better. Right? I was talking to a friend today, and I was telling him, you know, you probably heard me say this before, that, you know, why would I ever want to date a girl who's willing to date me? Right? Why would I ever willing to date a girl who her standard of dating is this guy? I need to become the guy that I want a girl that I'm dating for that to be her standard. Right? Me not getting married is what's motivating me to become a better person. If not for that lacking, I would never grow. So Rav Kook saying, you know, you don't understand. This emptiness that you're feeling, I've been davening and davening and davening for so many years and nothing happens. I've been, you know, I took upon myself to not do Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet that the halacha says not, and I feel nothing. I feel empty. I feel nothing. You know, I stopped doing X on Shabbos, and all I feel on Shabbos is bored. So yes, you can translate as that as empty and shallow and vacant and nothing. Rav Kook says, you know, you could also translate that as there's an empty spot in order to put something. And we spoke about this, there's so much because it's already our fifth piece on ups and downs, is that in order to build a tall building, you have to dig low. Right? There's this YouTube video that I watched about I think they had a drone, but it's a time lapse of building the biggest tallest building in the world in Dubai, right? And the time lapse is like a third of it is just them digging, you know, like you see trucks coming and going and trucks, and it takes like, and I think like halfway through or like even like they just finished the concrete floor. They just finished the floor. They forget about the building. They're still ground level, right? Yeah, that emptiness, digging and digging and digging, that's the foundations. If you dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and nothing happens, that's it, right? How sad it is for a person who's digging and digging for oil or digging and digging for water, and he gives up an inch before he hits the well, right? And then somebody else, you know how like you can't open a bottle and like everybody tries and the last guy comes and we're like, we loosened it for you, right? So everybody's digging and digging and digging, the last guy comes and just like picks up a rock and phew, water comes out. Mind blown. Everybody else who gave up before him. Right. That's why I told you, Jason Kidd is one of my favorite NBA players because he has the best stat in the world. He has the highest percentage of buzzer-beating shots with the lowest percentage of field goal in that game. Right? So he's the guy who hit the most buzzer beaters after having the lowest field goal percentage ever. Okay? So Reggie Miller, you know, Steph Curry, LeBron James, who guy averages, you know, like... Such a field goal percentage, and then for them to hit a buzzer beating shot, okay, statistically they should hit that, right? But a person who like hits 1 for 8 and then hits a buzzer beating shot, that's gavaldic, right? That's that digging and digging and digging and digging and digging and digging and not giving up. So Rav Kook says, "Ve'im lifnei shever gaon, lifnei gdula ve'ora, dakut ruach ve'anava pnimit." מיד יתפוס בכל האמצעים לבסס מידת ענווה זו בכל מקורות הרוח שבידו. Rav Kook says, before he, I'll say something that Rav Kook, that for explaining Rav Kook, why do you need a void in order to build? Why did God create a world where you need to dig down in order to build a building? Why do I need to feel empty in order to find a spouse? Why is there a void? Why do I need to make room? Why physically, spiritually, emotionally do I need to make room for another thing to exist simultaneously? Why couldn't these two tables just merge? Why do I have to move this table to make room for this table? Why? Why do I have to dig down in order to dig up? Why is that? Why? Rav Kook says it's very simple. That making room is anava. And if I don't have anava to make room, then I shouldn't be merging with that thing in the first place. Any merger between two companies needs anava. Somebody is going to have to become, instead of second, third, because number one from that firm has to become two. The Gemara says, Tova Rofim Lagenom, the best doctor goes to hell. Why does the best doctor go to hell?
He thinks he's the best doctor.
Because he thinks he's the best. If he thinks he's the best, he's never going to ask for a second opinion. And then his place is going to be in hell.
Oh, wow.
If you ever think you're the best, you're going to be in Gehenom. You can think you're great, but if you never have the anava to ask a second opinion, right? I think the death toll, just in Israel, of people who die from human error is 8,000 a year. 8,000 patients die a year in Israel, approximately, from human error. I can imagine what the number is in America. Okay?
Only
8,000.
Oh, 8,000.
Only 8?
That's a lot.
8,000
sounds like a lot.
8,000 is a lot. I thought it said 8 total.
8,000. So if statistically we're speaking about the same average, then in America, we're going to speak about, you know, close to 500,000 people. No, that's too much.
Quarter of a million?
Whatever the statistic would be, and I'm sure you can Google how many people on average, based on studies or theories, die from human error. Unreal. Tova Rafim Lagenom. If you don't have anava, you're done. Right?
250,000.
So
you're only half off.
I mean, I already when I said 500,000, I realized that
I can't.
It's a quarter of a million.
I know, I said it. But the idea is, if you don't have anava, you're not making room. And therefore, that void inside of me, see, something phenomenal that the Zohar explains. Adam and Chava were created back to back. Back to back. But they were so much back to back that they didn't know each other. They were so one.
What's the expression in Hebrew? What was it?
What?
What's the expression, that phrase in Hebrew?
Achor be'achor.
Okay.
They were back to back, or there are other phrases. I'm not sure if you're thinking of a specific
Isaac,
one.
Isaac Saltz always talks.
Right. But and it's like a heads and a tails in a coin that never met each other. They don't know of each other, but they're one. What do you mean? How do you not know tails? You are tails. What do you mean? Who's tails? Tails is you on the other side. Right. So God split the coin in half, and heads and tails got to meet each other. Adam and Chava got to meet each other. But you know, when God split them in half, it was like more like of a yin and yang. It wasn't like there was an emptiness. Emptiness. Adam was broken. Chava was broken. They were empty. They were half. You know what God gave them in order to succeed, in order to fill that void? Something that we call ego. Ego. Ego is that thing that helps pick you up when you're shattered on the ground. When you feel empty and nothing and you can't do it, ego is the part to pick you up. Ego is what makes you feel full again. If your ego is so strong, you won't even need a chava. That's why the craziest thing is that in order to get married, you know what you have to do? Get rid of your ego. Marriage is an institute that pushes ego back in its place. Puts the genie back in the bottle. The most egoless thing in the world is marriage. That's why it's so hard. Because the thing that has been motivating you to succeed on your own for so many years was the ego. And now your job is to get rid of the ego. It's so hard. Every single fight a husband and wife ever have, every argument, is only because of ego. Ego is that bubble that is not letting them merge and become one. But that same force that allowed you to have life without the other one is the same force that's stopping you to have a life with the other one. Ego is what we use to fill the void. That's why ego drives all of our physical pleasures, which are to fill a spiritual void, but they don't, because physicality can't fill a spiritual void. So I tell myself, if I feel full in my stomach, I'll feel full in my soul. If I laugh from my tummy, then I'll be happy in my head, and it doesn't happen. It only situates the ego. It doesn't make us feel any more full. But Cook says, you don't understand. That emptiness you feel right now, that you feel you're a nobody, don't see it as me being a nobody. It's another. It's the key component that you need in order to allow the other things to happen. When you put an organ, an external, an alien organ in a body, you have to trick the mind from thinking that that's external. We literally play mind games with our brain to make the brain think that kidney is my kidney. Because if the minute that kidney doesn't think it's the body doesn't think it's kidney,
it rejects it
right away. No way.
It attacks it even.
There has to be another. There has to be another. There has to be the ability to allow an alien object to be inside of me. And that's huge. So you're feeling like, oh, I'm davening for so many years and I feel nothing. Say, wow. Shh. Amazing. So much more to go. So much more to do. Right? If I felt my davening was great, where would I grow to? Midrash says, Gemara says, that there's a machlokis, you know, it says, Noach tzadik tamim haya bedorotav. What does Chazal say? Bedorotav, in his generation. Shei lule haya bedor Avram, because if he was in the generation of Avram, lo haya nichshav leklum. He wouldn't have amounted to anything. You know what the Chalban says? Something mind-blowing. It says, Shei lule haya bedor Avram, lo haya nichshav be'einav leklum. Noach was such a tzaddik that if he would have lived in the time of Avram, you know what he would have said? Me? I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. Avram. Me? Me? In his generation, Noach said, you know what? I need to be the guy. I need to be the guy. But if he was living in the time of Avram and God would have said, Noach, I need you to build a table, you know what Noach would have said? Me? Me? Avram's here. Are you joking me? Not Shaloya Nichshav. That he wouldn't have been amounted to anything. He wouldn't have seen himself. He's such an anav. That's the greatness. The greatness is to turn this void into anava. Right? The ani and the ani are aleph and ayin. Ani is ego. Ani is Tfila le'ani kiyatov. Got mamash, got nothing. Dalim derekim. Defakno dal tvotecha. The only reason we're coming is because we feel empty. Right? The only reason I'm turning to you is because I can't find parking by myself. If I had parking by myself, I would never turn to you. Sadly, that's a reality. It's only when people get sick and people are stuck in with their back to the corner, all of a sudden, they turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu. What are you supposed to do with that feeling of emptiness? Turn it into a nava? And turn that anava into something that you and God have in common. How did God create the world? Anybody know?
Tzimtzum.
Tzimtzum. What is tzimtzum?
Tzimtzum means making space.
Right? Making space. God is the master of making space. Literally created a womb in himself. And then created a fetus, a world, in God.
And where's
the fetus? God's the master of making room. Tshuva shekadma la'olam, Chassidus says, what does that mean? The only thing that we can do that is, the most godly thing we can do is forgive. When Yom Kippur says, God's not going to forgive you, you don't forgive others.
Tshuva kodem olam?
No, tshuva kadma la'olam. Tshuva came before the world,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
What is tshuva? Tshuva is the ability to say, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. My bad. Right? Spoke about this a little bit about Shabbat. It's between sin and mistake. To say I made a mistake is growing. It's growing. Saying I sinned is not going to make you grow. It's going to make you feel
like you're a sinner.
Guilt. Doubt about your future. Chukuk is saying God is the master of making room. Right? What do we say? What do we say about Hashem in Chazal say, Ephes hu hamelech. God is an Ephes. What's Ephes?
Nothing.
Nothing. Zero. Right? Okay? What? How does the Zohar call God? Satum de kol sitmin. Right? He's the most satum. Right? The most concealed. The nothing. Right, my Rebbe Rav Fruman used to always say that the mystic and the heretic both say the same thing. They both say nothing. But the mystic says it with a capital N. He says, nothing. And the heretic says, nothing. Mamish, the same thing. Opposites. Okay? There's nothing. Or, you're right, Mamish, there's nothing. Okay? Like I've told you a million times, when my atheist neighbor told me God doesn't exist in the world, I told you, you're right. God doesn't exist in the world. The world exists in God. God doesn't exist in the world. Pasha, you're right, 100%.
Yep.
If you think that Am Yisrael saw God with their eyes and heard God with their ears, the Torah tells you they didn't. They saw the letters. They heard the sound. They saw what they were hearing. It wasn't this world.
Isn't there an opinion that says that they were all like sleeping, like dreaming, like, the whole thing?
Yeah. That's probably the closest we can associate what they were going through to what we're going through, right? So Rav Kook is saying something really deep. He says a person feels like he's empty. A person feels like he's not amounting to anything. And you know what? The Yetzer Hara is going to push you over the brink and tell you, oh, this is proof that you're not doing it. It's not happening. It's not worth it. You're just wasting your time. Forget about it. Come on. Forget it. And Rav Kook says, no, the opposite. You don't understand. In order to go to the next level, you need anava. You need to get rid of the ego. This is the greatest way to get rid of the ego. Right? If you feel like you've been davening and nothing's happening, that is the greatest way to feel anava. Right? Who's going to come and say, Davin, I Davin well, that was good tefillah, that was good Davin. Great, that was great. Yeah, totally killed that Daf and Daf Yomi today. Right? Humility is like a built-in attribute into Judaism. Because that is the only way we can connect to God. God is the most humble. God is the most empty. Right? Therefore, if Cook says you should take that emptiness feeling and turn it into anava, and then it should elevate you. It should elevate you to feel great. Why? Because if you're an anav, if you're humble, then you're open to opportunity. Right? And Rebbe used to always say, the Chazal, mitzvah goreret mitzvah. mitzvah brings along another mitzvah. Said, when was the last time you did a mitzvah? And then you were like, okay, where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? Ha! A mitzvah. A mitzvah. It's coming from you, right? Like, when was the last time you were like anticipating a magnetic, another mitzvah to be magnetized to you because you just did a mitzvah? You need a nava to do that. You need a nava to look and be like, where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? Where can I do another mitzvah? How can I do it? The Yitzhar is very good in telling us that we amount to nothing. You know he's supposed to say Yitzhar Hara? If he says, wow, that fila was really... On a 1 to 10 scale, I'd give it a 0, you know? You'd be like, wow, a 0? That's the highest. Right? It's mamish the highest. Halavai, I can get another 0. Right? Why? Because what did I gain? What did I gain by davening a tefillah that's a 0? I gained humility. Is that not greater than anything else I could have gained by davening? Right? So it's very hard for us to make this switch from feeling that we're not amounting to anything to feeling that the fact that we're not amounting to anything is really the fact that we are open for more opportunity. And that's phenomenal. So I once heard from a great Breslov Rav, he said something amazing. He said, imagine you go and you're davening. And from a 1 to 10, it's a 0. And putting on tefillin this morning, you didn't even remember if you said a bracha. I didn't say a bracha. It was a 0. And then you were, you know, ate breakfast and you don't even remember if you said a bracha or not, another 0. And then the next day, you do it again and tefillah was like a 0. Like, forget it. Like, done. You know, you spaced out. You were so tired. You don't even forget if you were, you don't even remember if you daven. You think you remember if you said mashi baruch or not. And he said, you keep going like that, and you say, you know what, I'm gonna get up for davening, and you don't get up. Mamish is 0. And then, you know, you tell yourself, fine, at least mincha marav, I'm gonna do right. Totally forget about that. Another 0. So then imagine one day, after all these zeros, you get one word out. Did one little thing right. It's not a 5, it's not a 10, a 1. He said, you know what a 1 after 6 zeros is? A million. Every time you get a 0, really what you're doing is just adding a decibel. And if you got 6 zeros, that's a million. But if you got a 1 after you got 15 zeros, you can imagine what that would be. And imagine it was a 3 instead of a 1. You see, getting a 1 after 10 zeros is not a 1. It's a trillion. It's a number you can't fathom. So our job when we feel empty is not to look at a 0 as a failure, but to look at 0 as something that is going to allow me to build something big, to build something huge. And if every time the Yitzhar is going to make me feel like I'm a 0, I'm going to turn that into a nava, that will without a doubt propel me to do great things. Shkayach.